Hi, guys. For those of you who don't know me, I'm Alicia. Like Herrick said, he gave me a nice little intro there. And I loved, Herrick, what you said about fathers and just Father's Day and stuff. So for those of you who like pray for the gathering and for response time and stuff, I feel like, I don't know, there might be more there that we could respond to as well. So yeah. For those of you who are just jumping in with us, we're in a series called We Are Restored. So it's who we are and where we're going. We've been talking about our values, our direction as a church, and we're in a kind of 4-week series right now looking at the 4 things we do as members here at Restored, and we're calling those things the 4 G's. That's gather, grow, give, and go. And so today we're smack dab in the middle. I'm speaking on the 3rd G, go. And two weeks ago, Andy was here. He spoke on the 1st G, gather, and the importance of the Sunday gathering and prioritizing that time with family and just what God does here on the Sunday morning gatherings and prioritizing that. Last week, Herrick, who's just up here, he spoke on the 2nd G, which is grow, and he just highlighted the importance of being involved in a GC and committing to a daily Bible reading plan, whether that's CBR or something else that gets you into the Word daily, and being authentic at community. It was great. And next week, Andy will be back, and he's going to be preaching on the 4th G, which is give, how we can be like sacrificial, not just with our money, but with our time and our resources, our affection even. It'll show where like our treasure's at, and yeah, energy. So he'll be back for that. But today, 3rd week in, 3rd G is go. And going is like being a witness for Jesus in the community. And today I'm going to be talking about what going looks like for us as members here at Restored. And I just have to say, I can't, in 35 minutes, say everything that there is to say about this topic. Ashley preached a couple months ago and did a really good job sharing about how we go out into the community and some specific ways that we do that. Today is kind of going to be more, not as comprehensive, but more foundational and just how we go and where we get that from Scripture and what that looks like just to go in general here at Restored. So where do we get this idea of going? Where do we see this in Scripture? So if you want to turn with me to Matthew 28, 18 through 20, it's going to be on the screen too. But we're looking at Jesus' last words to his disciples. And people's last words are pretty important when they're telling you kind of like what the last thing that you're supposed to do is. And this is famously called the Great Commission. In Matthew 28, 18 through 20. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." So in this passage, we get 2 commands from Jesus: go and make disciples. And I want to define a couple terms before we move on. And they're going to be up on the screen too. The first one is disciple. What does that mean to make a disciple? And disciple comes from the Greek word mathetes, which you guys, when I first read that, I was like, I thought it said mathlete. I was like, oh no, we have to be mathletes to follow Jesus. There's no hope. Thankfully, though, it just means learner, follower, pupil, or student. So not an expert, not a mathlete of Jesus, but you're learning to follow someone, and in this case, Jesus. Baptizing, from the passage, implies initially introducing people to Jesus. And teaching here in this passage is implying showing people how to follow Jesus. So baptizing and teaching them, introducing them to Jesus, teaching them to follow him. Is that helpful? Something that actually stuck out to me as I was like praying for this sermon and thinking about these passages was the opposite of this verse. And the opposite is essentially stay and don't make disciples. I want us to ask ourselves, what does our Christianity more resemble? Not to shame us, it just is a question for us to think about, like, does it look more like what Jesus said or not? Because we're all called to introduce people to Jesus and teach them how to follow him. This is a command for everyone. Everyone who's a disciple of Jesus is included in this verse. And everyone who loves Jesus has something to teach or something to offer others. It doesn't matter if you were saved yesterday or you've been preaching the gospel as a pastor for 80 years. Jesus uses us uniquely to reach the other people around us, and you can show people how to follow Jesus in a unique way that Jesus has shown you. So why then do we go? We go, obviously, from the verse because we're commanded, but not just because we're commanded. It's not just out of obedience that we do this. We're compelled by love. Jesus was compelled by love for us, and so in response to that, we're compelled by his love to reach others. And as we become more and more like him, our heart starts to break more and more for the things that his breaks for. As we are experiencing more and more of his love, his adoration for us, the fact that he takes care of us as his children, we don't just go out of obedience, but of a compelling and surpassing love for him and for people. Herrick, like I said, preached last week on the second G, which was growing in Jesus, and he gave a really memorable example, at least for me, of a tea bag being steeped in a cup of water. The tea being Jesus and the cup of water representing our lives, and it's like we get Jesus when we're like, recognize we need a savior, we're saved by him, but like it takes time, and as we become more like him, the water starts to look, our lives just start to look more and more like tea, more like Jesus, and as we grow in him, more and more, like I said, our hearts break for what his break for. We care about what he cares for, and that's a growing process. But what he cares about are people who don't know him. And we start to want similar things that he wants. He wants people to know him. And we go not to earn something from Jesus. Like, we already have him. But, and like, it's funny because like, we don't have to, but like, we want to. And I wanted to just touch on that. Like, we have him, and we go because we're sent. We're sent by him. John 20:21, it'll be on the screen too if you want to turn there. Jesus says this. And Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." The Father sent Jesus out of love for his creation, out of their need. He was compelled by love for us, and he sent Jesus in much the same way Jesus here is then sending us. So where are we sent then? We're sent into a lost and hurting world with the message of Jesus. Like Herrick described earlier, the gospel message, the good news, that you don't have to live with a guilty conscience. You don't have to live as a slave to sex or money or power. That you can live in freedom. You don't have to be in control, because God's in control. And we take this message to a people that are looking for hope, a generation seeking meaning and purpose. And Jesus shows us what it looks like to go to our neighbors and to the nations. So we're sent both locally and globally. And so for the rest of the time, I'm going to talk about what that means here at Restored to go both locally and globally. And I have 3 points. I think they're going to be on the screen as well. Yep. Going for members of Restored means 3 things. 1, engaging people of peace, and I will define that. 2, inviting people to Sunday worship gatherings. And 3, supporting our missional work outside of Uptown. So the first one, engaging people of peace. Because I know there's probably some of you out there who are like, what is a person of peace? What does that mean? A person of peace, as we define it here at Restored, is a person who knows you're a Christian, who generally likes you, and is open to the ideas and the message of Jesus. These are people who, like, they know you're a Christian, they're probably asking questions about your faith, and not just to play devil's advocate, they're asking honest questions. They're intrigued by your involvement with a church community, and maybe they're asking, like, how do you deal with conflict or your financial insecurity at the moment or that hardship that you're going through? What do you find hope in? What do you look forward to the future? How do you cope with loss? Like, real questions. This is probably a person of peace in your life. And you're not like pushy or weird back to them, but you're bold. You're not forcing them to talk to you about it. And if they're generally interested, they're probably talking, they're asking questions. And a big point here is that, like I've said, they know you're a Christian. You've disclosed your faith to them. To engage people of peace, you have to disclose your faith. No one's gonna ask you questions if they don't know you're a Christian. You wouldn't ask my husband Aaron, who is not here right now because he's really sick, but he's had a 10-year career in the military. And in contrast, I've sold medical devices, so you wouldn't ask him, hey, what's it like to sell medical devices? And you certainly wouldn't ask me about military strategy. At least if you wanted an informed answer, you wouldn't. So in the same way, you have to tell people that you follow Jesus and that you love him, that you're part of a community that's trying to follow him to create kind of an informed dialogue. And it seems but it's not really a no duh. It's not that obvious because many of us have bought into the lie that you can preach the gospel at all times and if necessary, use words. Have you heard that quote before? It's pretty famous. But I think when we call it out, we can see the lie in it, that if you just do good deeds, people are gonna ask you about your faith, which we know it's not true in our culture. It's in an increasingly secular culture. When was the last time that worked? Be honest. You were really nice to your coworker and they're please tell me about the hope that you have within you. Or you bought someone lunch and they're tell me about your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I mean, maybe I'm not gonna say that that's not gonna happen, but in an increasingly secular culture, people are believing that you're doing good works to save yourself. Grace is countercultural. The Bible says you can't even understand grace apart from Jesus. And our culture is so transactional, you can't even buy your coworker lunch without them offering to pay or buying it next time. Grace is unnatural. I had a friend recently tell me that they have a coworker who keeps a ledger of all the times that his boss or coworkers buy him lunch or coffee so that he can pay them back in the future. That's not grace. That's our culture at work. And that's hard. Secular culture thinks that you're trying to work for your salvation. Well, of course those Christians are doing good things. They have to, or else they're gonna go to hell. That's exactly what every other religion tells us. Be good, follow rules, fear hell. So we have to tell our friends that we love Jesus. And I don't know how to work it into your conversations. I mean, I recognize it can be awkward or uneasy. I'm definitely not the best at it. But it's so important that we let people know. And we can't use relationship building as an excuse not to share Jesus. I love relational evangelism. I'm all about it. I want to be in a context where I can do that more and taking steps into that. But let's be honest. Many of us use relationship building as a disguise for cowardice. For example, well, I'm just gonna wait about 10 years until I know my coworker really well. They know everything else about me, my favorite ice cream flavor, and then I'm gonna tell them I'm a Christian. It's if Jesus was your greatest love, he's who you're trying to become more like, that would be impossible and really weird. Could you imagine if I did that with my husband, Aaron? I go to work every morning, I slip off my ring, I strut into work and pretend I'm not married, never talk about him, never mention him, and then a year later, a coworker finds out I'm married. It'd be really bizarre. They would think wow, you have a really sad, dysfunctional relationship with your husband, or you must be really embarrassed of him or ashamed of him, and that would be true if I wasn't bringing up the fact that, I do life with this person, I love this person, we do things together. So with these people that we're trying to develop relationships with, these people of peace, if we're not pointing them to Jesus, if we're not pointing them to the truth, we're essentially pointing them to a lie. We're pointing them to lifelessness, to hopelessness, which eventually leads to the grave. And even if we're silently affirming a false worldview, like a person of peace casually says, you know, well, what goes around comes around. If these are people that we love, like we can't let them think that we believe that. That's hopeless. And as we engage with these people in our lives, and I'm talking about these people of peace, these people that are in our lives, they're probably part of our normal rhythms. It would be really natural to invite them into community. They might even connect well or better with someone else here who reflects Jesus in a different or a unique way from you. And there are many ways you can invite someone into our community. I think our church does a really good job of creating opportunities for that, whether that's a quality social. I know the guys went bowling last Friday, and the ladies, we had a brunch a couple weeks ago, which was really cool to see, like some coworkers come too, and people meeting other women who love Jesus in our community. And it's not just a quality socials, like birthday parties have been a really fruitful way in the past to connect people, happy hours, hikes, whatever you can think of that you could like connect people in our community. And of course, there's the Sunday morning worship gathering. We meet weekly. Which leads me to point number two. Going at Restored requires inviting people to our Sunday morning worship gatherings. Oh, good stuff there. I think there's something really unique about the way that the church gathering corporately lends itself to hearing and experiencing God. At the Sunday morning gathering, you can see like the family of God loving one another. Like I was looking around during family time, people encouraging one another, building each other up, connecting. We get to come under musical worship together and praise Jesus, thanking him for what he's done for us. We serve one another sacrificially, which you probably don't see as much, but people serving to like set this place up and do that for others. And a lot of people hear the gospel for the first time at a Sunday morning worship gathering where they're here and the word of God is preached. A lot goes on a Sunday that it just looks different than the way that God's like showing up in your coffee shop meetings or even at your GC. I'm gonna read another passage. It's from 1 Corinthians 14. And another way that God works during our gatherings is through like prophetic words. And it says, "But if all prophesy and an unbeliever or outsider enters, he is convicted by all. He is called to account by all. The secrets of his heart are disclosed. And so, falling on his face, he will worship God and declare that God is really among you." The Holy Spirit can like speak prophetically to people. Like God can touch each of our individual hearts in his own way. He's God. The same word even could make two people feel totally different. And he can do that not just through the greeting time and worship, preaching, prayer ministry, but through sometimes these like prophetic words. And I want to share a story that happened at Restored LA about 3 weeks ago. Restored LA is a plant that Brad, who is here, was a pastor, planted a church up in the San Fernando Valley, is that right? LA area. And there's a girl who's been going there since they planted a little over a year ago, and she was actually saved there. I talked to her this week, so she gave me like permission to share this story. Her name's Jill. Some of you guys know her. She has been attending their gatherings, been living in community. She's been going to their Sunday morning prayer meeting before the gathering, which shameless plug, you guys, we meet too, 8 a.m. up in the little loft area. It's open to anyone. Come pray with us. So she was at their meeting up in L.A. and really felt God put like a sense of like not just the word repentance, but she had been going through a season where like she was repenting some sin to people and felt like after the gathering, God had like prompting her to share that story of like recently repenting and repenting to leaders. And so she got up and was like, I just knew like God wanted me to get up there and share this story. And it was recent. And she shared about like basically repenting, turning away from like her sin, choosing to believe the truth about herself and the truth about Jesus, and recognizing her sin, choosing to believe who Jesus was in light of that. And she really experienced God in a cool way. But she shared this story, and there was a non-Christian couple that was there who had been invited by a friend. And this couple hears this story and is like, whoa, like there's something different. The man actually felt like really convicted, pulled his Christian friend aside and was like, hey, I just need to like confess to you. Like, and his wife was there too. He's like, he confessed his adultery and he's like, I need to repent. Like, I want to change. I don't want this to like affect our relationship. Like, what does Jesus say about this? And so like he repented, changed his mind about like what marriage was, what he wanted it to look like and what Jesus said it looks like. And so I share that story because like that's this verse working itself out in action. Like God does that still. And I just want to encourage us to like believe more that God works on our Sunday mornings and at this gathering in ways that we don't even probably are ways we're not aware of or think that he could. And I want to encourage you to like invite people to this corporate gathering, that God's at work here in a special way. Like I said, that looks different than like a coffee shop meeting or you're at your GC, and he's totally at work there too. But I think there is something really special about the Sunday morning where we meet here together and all those things that I mentioned that we do together. Yeah, God can work, and praying today that God works too in a cool way. oops, I still need that page. Point number three, supporting our missional work outside of Uptown. Okay, so we've talked about going locally when it comes to engaging people of peace, inviting people to our Sunday morning worship gathering. That's going locally here. But what does it look like to go globally while being a member here at Restored? Because we're not just called to our neighbors and the people around us. We're called to the nations. We're called to go globally. And we do this kind of work primarily in two ways here at Restored, through church planting and mission trips. Many of you probably heard of church planting. We started as a church plant about 5 years ago, and basically just starting a family of people who love Jesus, want to see others get to know him, share the gospel. And Andy had this goal, I say goal like loosely, but just like this idea, like dream, I would say might be his better word, a gospel dream, to start 10 churches in 10 years. And at the time we were meeting in like a basement in La Mesa, and there were like, I don't know, 30 of us, maybe on like a max day. And I was like, oh, that's ambitious. Like, all right. And it's crazy because we've planted 4 churches in the last like 4 years, just out of like this community and South Bay, Resort LA, and then Temecula in the next couple months. And I know it's going to look different as we progress. We want to plant out of health, not necessarily out of like a vision or a dream. But it's just cool to see that like God's, it almost seems small now, like 10 churches in 10 years, like who knows what God can do. But yeah, and then just an update on Restored Temecula too. For those of you who don't know, we did the Our Give Love last month, which is where we like raised money to help send Restored Temecula. And we raised over $100,000 for Restored Temecula. Yeah, that's amazing. We're gonna be able to send them with resources to really get off the ground running and quickly. No basement in La Mesa for them. but like God's raised up those leaders here in our community and to start new church plants, new gospel-centered families, and we need more leaders to be able to start more churches. And if that's something that like gets you excited, please like talk to the elders if you want to start developing as a leader. We need leaders to start church plants, and that's, you know, things might be slowing down here a little bit in the future as just like our church planting, we want to make sure we're equipped and are sending equipped people and out of health, like I said. So please like don't hesitate to like ask for that. Because I think some of you should consider planting a church. I think some of you should join a church planting team. And whether that's in another part of San Diego County or Southern California or the U.S. or somewhere else in the world, I think God is calling you. I want to ask us if we're willing to be faithful to that call. Are we willing to be sent? To be preparing for that even? Are you open? Another way we can go globally is through mission trips. And we go to serve and to minister, but also like God ministers to us when we like go and minister to other churches too. I'm gonna read a passage from Acts 14:21-23. And this is Paul and Barnabas visiting churches that they've planted, and they're basically helping strengthen and equip people, appointing elders, you'll see. When they had preached the gospel to that city and had made many disciples, they returned to Lystra and to Iconium and to Antioch, strengthening the souls of the disciples, encouraging them to continue in the faith, and saying that through many tribulations we must enter the kingdom of God. And when they had appointed elders for them in every church, with prayer and fasting, they committed them to the Lord in whom they had believed. So yeah, Paul and Barnabas, they're going about strengthening believers, like, hey, it's going to be hard, but like, it's worth it. And this is really similar to what Andy and Adam are actually doing in the UK right now. Convenient. You saw a picture. Andy and Adam are there helping to equip and train elders of churches all across the UK that are going to go back to their communities, and be able to be like more equipped in gospel fluency, like preaching the gospel. And it's just really cool that like this is continuing today even. And Aaron, my husband who's not here mysteriously, no, he's really sick, you guys, it's sad. But I keep referencing him, and it's like, okay, where are you at? But maybe he'll listen to the podcast and laugh. He had the opportunity to go with Andy a couple weeks ago to Ireland, and they helped equip a young local church in Armagh, and they met with leaders, they did some training on discipleship, similar to what we're doing even today. But it wasn't just like what they gave, like what they served the community with. Aaron came back with like this like almost tangible like realization of like God's love for him. And he said he just like felt like the unique and like powerful way that God loved him individually. And it was just so beautiful. I feel like he brought that back, not just into our relationship, but our GC. And I feel like the way that he's like serving in our church just like reflects like he knows that like God just loves him deeply. And I just want to say, like, yeah, we go to equip, but oftentimes God really does something in us too when we go. I have another story. I had the opportunity to go to South Africa a couple years ago with Andy and Jackie. Yeah, and Rachel and Nicole, who are here as well, which is kind of fun. And we went to go, yeah, like equip other churches. We took part in like a global church planting conference. I thought I was, you know, all like really great and everything. And one of the biggest takeaways for me wasn't even anything that we like served doing, but it was a realization of how like prideful I was and am to some extent. Like, I realized this tendency in me to want to like tear down like leaders or people of influence because they like threatened me. And I was like, having this conversation with Andy, like when you're on these trips with other people, you're around each other a lot. So it's not just like on a Sunday, you put on like your good shoes or whatever. You're day by day on like this trip, and it's like, oh, my sin was being revealed in this way. And like he like lovingly kind of like brought it up and challenged me for the better. But so I think I missed one of my like points on that. Skipping this whole story, I don't like talking about my sin from the stage, but it's really good. I just realized how important it is to encourage our leaders, to be an encouragement to them. And I love that word. Recently, I was just remembering, like, encourage literally means to give someone courage. And, like, how cool that is to be able to do that for our leaders, to, like, encourage them, give them courage to, like, speak the gospel and live out and, like, express their gifts. And so, yeah, I had that hard conversation with Andy, but I felt like I came back just changed from that in a way, more so than anything that I, like, did while I was there praying for people or, yeah, taking part in this conference. So we go to serve, yes, like the global church, but I have to mention, like, God reveals himself to us in more ways and his love for us, conviction of sin. He meets us personally as well. And we want to create more opportunities for members of Restored to do this. We have a trip coming up in November to Greece to serve refugees. And this trip is open to anyone at Restored who wants to go. Basically, as I understand it, in Greece, they have some resources to serve refugees when it comes to like food and like structure necessarily, but they don't have the financial means to like employ people to serve and make the food, to clean, to like build, to do the hands-on work of what it takes to serve this massive people group that are there. And so if that's something that you want to be a part of, please talk to Royce. We're going to be figuring out a lot more of the details, like dates and stuff. But it is in November, and to Greece and to serve. And so that's like an opportunity for anyone at Restored who wants to go globally. There's one. Also, we have relationships with churches all over the world. You heard me mention before South Africa, the UK, Ireland. We have partnerships all across Southern California, Boston, plenty of cities. If you are in those cities or if you're going and you want to have the opportunity to spend some time with their leaders or their church, like, please ask Andy about that when he gets back. He has a lot of strong partnerships, and we would love the ability and the opportunity even to like continue to develop those partnerships, to continue to encourage one another in the gospel, all sorts of stuff, so to develop that. And then also, we would love to plant a church internationally one day. That would be one of our like gospel dreams here at Restored. And we have these big gospel dreams because the heart of Jesus is to reach a people. He has like a big gospel dream to restore the world and restore us to himself. And so because of that, we get to go to people, not stay and be idle. He came to us first to show us how to go to others. Does that feel hard? It does to me. And I want to remind us again from Matthew 18, one part. If it can go back on the screen, I'll turn there too. Yeah, at the end he says, "And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." He doesn't just say, "All right, now go, have fun, see you later." He's with us. And Jesus is calling you to go with him. And that may be to a coworker or a friend, or it might be to a people in a nation. But we don't go alone. He's with us. And if your desire is to get more of Jesus, he promises that he'll be with us as we go. To our friends, our people of peace, as we invite people to our Sunday gatherings, and we go locally and globally. If Aaron, if you want to come up, or Rachel, I don't know how many of you we want for this, but I'm going to just ask us some questions, some reflection questions as we close, and they're going to strum. And I want us to like close our eyes for this. I know sometimes that's like can be cheesy in church or whatever, but like, or if you want to dim lights, whatever. But I just want us to ask ourselves. There's only three questions, but ask yourself just honestly as I close and from what I've said, and just like I've been praying that the Spirit would move in this time, so I like, trust that He'll be doing that work. But whoa, and maybe you felt Him in that. All right. That was a joke, you guys. All right. So let's close our eyes. The first question. Who comes to mind in response to, they don't know Jesus. They know I do, and they like me. I like them. They might be a person of peace. Second question. Is there anyone that God is calling you to invite to a Sunday gathering? Maybe even someone who might be wanting to go. And the third question, how is God calling me to support his missional work globally? Jesus, I pray that as you came to us, you came to us first, you came to us in truth and in love and mercy, and you extended yourself to us, that we would go to them in the same way, looking to you because you're always with us. Your spirit empowers us. You give us the words to speak. And I pray right now that you'd be bringing people to mind, people to our hearts who are close to us, who need to hear the message of the gospel, Lord. I pray that you would remind us of your nearness to us. I pray that you would give us just even like a greater understanding of your love for us this morning, of the gospel, of the fact that you went to extreme lengths to go to us, to bring us in, and that you'd remind us that no one is too far for you, Jesus. Yeah, I trust that your spirit today is doing the work that you want to be doing in each of our hearts. So I just continue to pray for this gathering, Lord, that as we reflect on you, your goodness, and what you've called us to, that we would be filled with a greater sense of purpose in life, that we'd be filled with just a love for you that overflows into wanting to love others well and to reach people, Lord, for you. Amen.